चोधारथयूथपानाम् गाण्डीवधन्योपरतारिरास्ते अलक्षितो यच्छरकूटगूढो माया किरातो गिरीशस्तुतोष कचित् वेद यश धा फेमस रथयूथपानाम amongst the great chariot warriors. Gandiva, Gandiva, Dhanva, Bo, Uparata, Arihi, one who has vanquished the enemies. Aste, doing well. Alakshitaha, without being identified. Yet, whose? Sharakuda Gudha, being covered by arrows. Maya Kirataha, false hunter. Girishaha, Lord Shiva. Tutosha, was satisfied. Please tell me whether Arjun, whose bow bears the name Gandiva, and who is always famous amongst the chariot warriors for vanquishing his enemies, is doing well. He once satisfied Lord Shiva by covering him with arrows when Shiva came as an unidentified false hunter. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva tested Arjuna's strength by picking a quarrel with him over a hunted boar. He confronted Arjun in the false dress of a hunter, and Arjuna covered him with arrows until Lord Shiva was satisfied with Arjuna's fighting. He offered Arjun the Pashupati weapon and blessed him. Here Vidura inquired about the great warrior's well-being. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांतस्य ज्ञानांचन शलाकया चक्षुरन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरो श्रीयुदा पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे भूतैर्महाद्भिर्यमा पुरो विभु निर्माय शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽलङ्कृशीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्ण. Here Vidur is inquiring about another important personality in the Kuru dynasty, who is Arjun himself. Here we can see a very wonderful pastime is narrated in a few sentences, very briefly. This pastime glorifies Arjun. And it is depicted in Mahabharata. The Pandavas were in forest, they were in exile. And Yudhishthir was very much concerned about their safety at one point. Because he knew that Duryodhan and Pati had all different kinds of celestial weapons. So he knew that there may be a fight while in exile or after or during when they live in incognito. Anytime there could be a war between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So Yudhishthir wanted protection by some celestial weapons. And at that point, Vyasadev appeared at that spot. And Vyasadev started speaking to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So Vyasadev told Yudhishthir Maharaj, you need not worry about your safety. I can make arrangement such that you can obtain these celestial weapons. However, for doing that, there has to be a suitable candidate who can handle these weapons. And obviously, and that suitable candidate was Arjun. So, Vyasadev instructed Yudhishthir Maharaj with a mantra. It is called Anusmriti Mantra. So he gave this mantra to Yudhishthir Maharaj and told Yudhishthir Maharaj, when time comes, you should instruct this mantra to Arjun. Then he can actually obtain different kinds of celestial weapons. So we shouldn't think that this mantra would directly produce these celestial weapons. But this mantra is a kind of a prerequisite to perform austerities. So the celestial weapons are not given just like that. One has to go through severe austerities. So Arjun could perform such austerities, but this prerequisite mantra is mandatory. And there is a reason for that. So Vyasadeva explained this to Maharaj Yudhishthir that this mantra can award him a kind of mystic power by which he could travel all the way to Himalaya mountains. He can go to any part of the material universe using this mantra within a short time. So Arjun, if he gets this mantra, then he can go to the suitable place and he can obtain the celestial weapons. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was thinking, okay, I must give this mantra to Arjun because it is mandatory for our protection. But at the same time, he was very much concerned. What was the concern? Because once given this mantra, Arjuna would leave our association. So he had so much of affection for his brothers. So Yudhishthir started thinking, I want to give this mantra, but at the same time, I don't want, because I can't bear the separation from my dear brother. Time passed, and Yudhishthir found the necessity for obtaining these celestial weapons. So he told Arjun to be prepared. Now you come and you be ready to accept this mantra. So Arjun steadied his mind and he controlled all his senses and he was ready to get this mantra diksha. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, he duly gave this mantra diksha to Arjun. Then after obtaining this, Arjuna said, now it is my time to go. I have to leave all the Pandavas. I have to leave Mother Kunti. I have to leave Draupadi. So he left the association of all the Pandavas and he started traveling towards north to the Himalayan mountains. So as he was traveling, it was mentioned that it was in the speed of the mind. So it was so fast. It was just fleeing so fast in the air in a very high altitude towards Himalaya mountains. So once he was nearing the mountain, he approached the Mandara mountains. So once he reached the higher plains of Mandara mountains, he was stopped by a great personality. He said, stop, don't move from here. So Arjun stopped immediately. And this personality was a Brahmin who looked like very thin and had performed so much of austerities. And he was wearing deer skin. So Arjun understood he's an ascetic living in this Mandara mountains. So he asked, why did you ask me to stop? So this Brahmin told him, this is the abode of peace. And you are carrying your weapons here, which is inappropriate. So you can throw your weapons and you can just live here peacefully because this is the abode of peace. Hearing this, Arjuna got agitated. He didn't think, okay, now this is a time for a break. I can be peaceful and happy for some time. Rather, he remembered his duty. He thought, I have to go, I have to get the weapons, and I have to protect my brothers. So I must proceed with my mission. So he told this to this Brahmana, and Brahmana understood. And he said, yes, I am pleased with your determination. So this shows that a devotee's aim is not just peace. Because in serving Krishna, there can be difficulties, there can be challenges. But one shouldn't just aspire peace. So we are not a peace movement. Rather, our mission is serving Krishna despite difficulties. So this Brahmana said, you now understand my real personality. See, he assumed his real personality and he was none other than Indra, who is the king of demigods and who is Arjuna's father. So he said, I know your purpose, but at the same time, I can't award you any weapons at this point of time. Rather, you must first satisfy Lord Shiva, who is considered the leader of all the demigods, including myself. And saying this, this Brahmin disappeared. Who is Indra himself, he disappeared. Then Arjun, okay, he thought, okay, I would stay here for some time and, you know, meditate for some time. So he just resided for some time. Then suddenly he saw a gigantic boar roaming around and trying to attack him. So seeing this boar, Arjuna about to aim at this boar with his Gandiva. So he took his bow and arrow and he was aiming at this boar. Suddenly he saw another hunter chasing and coming behind this boar. And he also was aiming at this boar. And both shot arrow. And it was mentioned, simultaneously, both arrows pierced this boar. And this boar was dead. And suddenly, from his body, a great demon came about. And the demon, he actually died because the two arrows were shot on him. And he was dead. Then this hunter, he was big, he was huge, he was fierce. And he looked at Arjun and told him, why did you shoot arrow on my boar? He's mine. So Arjun said, no, he's mine. You are just a hunter. This boar belongs to me and that's why I shot him. I am residing here, it is mine. And first I shot the arrow, so it is mine. And you should understand, I have killed so many demons. And now this demon has assumed the form of this boar and I have killed him. And this hunter started laughing. He said, you are claiming you have killed this boar? Actually, I have killed him. You don't have any strength. You are just wretched. And I am the dweller of the forest. So the boar ultimately belongs to me. And I can see royalty in you. So you belong to a royal kingdom. You can go back, not here. So after hearing this, Arjuna became quite angry. And he said, just with my one arrow, I can kill you. And then this demon is my property, even though he's dead. So the hunter said, okay, try. So Arjun started showering some arrows on this hunter. Some of them hit this hunter, but nothing happened to him. And he tolerated for some time, the hunter, Still, nothing happened. And he took his bow and arrow and started showering arrow to Arjun. And Arjun started throwing so many arrows. So this fight was going on, but all this time, nothing happened to this hunter. Then Arjun understood, this is a great personality. Or somebody, maybe a demon, but he's great. So I must take some of my other celestial weapons. So he started chanting mantras, and he took his celestial weapons and started shooting on this hunter. Interestingly, even the celestial weapons couldn't do anything to this hunter. So hunter was simply laughing at some point. So, and then he looked at his quiver, he could notice that there was nothing in the quiver. It was completely empty. So he was a Kshatriya. So he threw his bow, and initially he went with his bow and started hitting this hunter. But this hunter, he took away the bow and he threw away Gandiva. Then he took his sword and started fighting. But Arjun couldn't do anything with the sword. Then he started the fist fighting. Still, in the fist fighting, this hunter took Arjun and he actually put him down. And Arjun became unconscious. So, you know, this is the last means of fight. Initially, try with all the weapons, and if nothing is there, then fist. Just with the body, just fight. So it's a chivalry. There's a rasa in that. You know, sometimes one of the Vaishnava game is wrestling, right? You know, it can. You know, sometimes in ashram it happens. So wrestling is a bona fide, bona fide game. So here we can see a bona fide game performed by Arjun. So but unfortunately, he was unconscious. Then he got his consciousness back and he looked at this hunter. Then he had this realization that this cannot be anyone else, because he had some other celestial weapons. Nothing worked, and this must be Lord Shiva. So he actually offered flowers unto the feet of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said, I am very much satisfied by shower of your arrows. So that is mentioned in this purport, that Lord Shiva was completely pleased by the shower of arrows of Arjun. And he said, there is no one as great as you in terms of fighting with bow and arrows. So I will give you special weapons. So that is Pashupati, the weapon Pashupati, or Pashupatastra. Because the weapon given by Pashupati, who is Pashupati? Pashupati is Lord Shiva. So it is called Pashupatastra. So he got Pashupatastra. And then Lord Shiva said, okay, now you can also, Mother Parvati, Uma was also there. So both of them blessed Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva said, now you can go to other demigods and you can obtain other celestial weapons. So Arjuna was very pleased. Then he went to Varuna, he went to Indra, and like that, he got a lot of weapons. And that's how he prepared himself for the battle of Kurukshetra. So we can understand that Arjun is a great personality. He is always with Lord. In fact, when Vyasadev met Yudhishthira Maharaj, Vyasadev told Yudhishthira Maharaj that Arjuna is an eternal associate of the Lord. Even though he is just playing the part as a Pandava, still he is an eternal associate of the Lord. So he has all the right to get any weapons. So this is the position of Arjun. And we know from Bhagavad Gita that Krishna tells to Arjun that, you know, we have appeared in so many births, in so many capacities. Say, for example, Krishna explains in the fourth chapter, Imam Vivashyate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam. I spoke this imperishable knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to Vivashvan, the sun god. So it has to be understood that when the Lord spoke Bhagavad Gita, or the same knowledge, to Vivashvan, Arjuna was also there, but he was serving in a different capacity. Then we know in Mahabharata, in this pastime, Lord Krishna and Arjuna is present, but at the same time, the Lord and his devotee is present as Nara and Narayan. In the 11th canto, there is a whole description of Lord Indra trying to test the power of Nara Narayan. So Nara and Narayan, they are eternally residing in Badrikashram. So there also, as great sage, Arjun is following Lord Krishna. We also know that in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, Arjun was present in the pastime of Lord Gauranga as Ramananda Roy. Correct? Because when in conversation to Bhavananda Roy, the father of Ramananda Roy and his brothers, he said, "You are like Pandu, and all your five sons, they are Pandavas, and you are serving me eternally. So your family is serving me eternally in my eternal pastimes." So even in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Arjun is present as a different personality. So we can see the greatness of Arjun. And now Vidur is inquiring about Arjun, which is quite natural because he is a dear devotee of the Lord. And we can see further in the continuing section coming in next chapter, Uddhava also remembers Arjun. Because Arjun played one of the most important roles in Battle of Kurukshetra. And from a spiritual perspective, also Arjun played a very important role as the deliverer of all the assembled warriors in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Because after the Battle of Kurukshetra, not many were left, right? How many were left? Only very few. I think Panja Pandavas were there, Krishna was there, Kripa was there, and one more, Satyaki was there. Only very few were left. And others? Ashwathama was there. Others were dead, right? Others were dead. So, most of the people who took part in the Battle of Kurukshetra, they were dead. Whether they belonged to Duryodhan's side or they belonged to Yudhishthira's side. So, we can see so many people were dead in this battle. Now, what was the role of Arjun? So, in fact, Uddhava remembers that. It's very, very interesting. He says that those who took part in this battle of Kurukshetra, many of them died. But, practically speaking, all of them, they got liberation. How they got liberation? They got liberation because on one side, they saw the beautiful face of Krishna. Netrai pibando nayana abhiramam parthastra puta padam apurasya. So he said, they were drinking the nectar of the beauty of Krishna's lotus face. So when the warriors, when they were seeing Krishna, they had different effects because of seeing Krishna's beautiful face. So the general description is about the warriors who were neutral in relation to Krishna. They didn't have any particular enmity towards Krishna. They were on the side of Duryodhan, but at the same time, they didn't have any particular enmity to Krishna. Some of them didn't like Yudhishthira, but they didn't have any enmity for Krishna. They were a kind of in a neutral state. And for them, when they saw the beautiful face of Krishna, that evoked prema in their heart. That evoked love for Krishna to some degree. But they had to actually go through the complete purificatory process to actually get love. And how it happened, it is mentioned, Parthastra Puta. They were purified by the arrows of Arjun. So many got actually killed by Arjun. And that was a process of purification for them. So it is mentioned in the purport and one of the lectures by Srila Prabhupada that when a devotee is acting for the Lord according to his instruction, even an act of killing is purifying. So here, Arjun was purifying many of the warriors by his arrows. So they were practically, the heart was piercing, but it was a process of purification. And as a result of that, they could actually develop love for the Lord. So it is mentioned, those who had neutrality in their mind, they could go to Vaikuntha. They didn't go to Golok Vrindavan, but at least they could go to Vaikuntha, which is something very, very valuable. Even though they came to fight, they wanted to kill all the Pandavas and all the army, still they got Vaikuntha Loka, their eternal residence. And those who had a kind of attraction, those who had developed at least a dormant attraction for the Lord, for them, after getting pierced by the arrows of Arjun, they had gotten Golok Vrindavan. So they went back to Golok Vrindavan. So this is the purificatory process by the combination of the Lord and his devotee. So here also we can see in Battle of Kurukshetra also, so Arjun played a very interesting role, and Uddhava remembers this in the next chapter, in the chapter 2 of the same canto. Tomorrow is Janmashtami here, and Janmashtami is today in India. So, you know, Janmashtami is actually being celebrated, right? In India, Janmashtami is today, right? So, we are just, you know, preparing ourselves for Janmashtami. So, it's a nice time to remember more about Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam presents Krishna's appearance in a very interesting way, because it is about preparation of appearance of Krishna. If you see the third chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the beginning of third canto is describing how the whole nature is preparing to receive Krishna, because there is a lot of outcry about the environment. You know, there is so many resolutions, there are so many meetings, there are so many studies on environment. When we go to Melbourne Uni, when you speak to people, many of them are studying environmental science, many of them. There's a lot of outcry on how the habitat is, you know, it's in a mess because of the human activities. So we are practically destroying the planet. But this nature has very important role in all aspects of our life. As Srila Prabhupada pointed out, Prabhupada asked, whose nature are you speaking about? When you speak about nature, Srila Prabhupada asked, whose nature? Meaning there is a proprietor of the nature, or someone, it belongs to someone. As we know, as Bhagavad Gita says, Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. So the whole material nature, or even spiritual nature, is under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. So Srimad Bhagavatam interestingly presents nature before the appearance of Krishna. How the nature got prepared to receive Krishna. So it is mentioned the all directions filled with auspiciousness and peace before the appearance of Krishna. It is mentioned the all auspicious stars appeared in the sky, and they were prepared to receive Krishna. Usually when somebody takes birth, everyone is concerned about the stars. And immediately, soon after the baby is born, the parents would approach an astrologer and try to foresee what is he going to do. Sometimes it can be just ridiculous. You know, after the baby is born, even not even 1 year, even before that, the parents want to know, is he going to be, what kind of occupation he is going to get into? Is he going to be a lawyer? Is he going to be a doctor? Is he going to be an engineer? Is he going to be a businessman? What? So, usually, because one's future is, or one's karma is associated with the planetary positions. However, when the Lord appears, since all the planets want to serve Krishna, they arrange themselves in the most auspicious position to receive Krishna. So that's how they receive Krishna. It's not the other way around. So all the stars came into very auspicious position. And the rivers were flowing with full of water. And lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. So we can see such a beautiful scene. And forests were full of birds. And especially a lot of peacocks were there. So the birds were chirping and making beautiful noise, beautiful sound. So all the atmosphere was ready to welcome Krishna. Then wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers. And sensation of body touch was very pleasing. And most interestingly, okay, the nature was ready to prepare Krishna. And interestingly enough, it is mentioned that all the devotees' heart became completely peaceful. And the Brahmanas, they started performing different sacrifices before the appearance of the Lord. So this is a kind of meditation we can have before appearance of Krishna, that we had to be prepared for Janmashtami. We can see a lot of preparations going on, a lot of service going on, because we are receiving Krishna, and of course, so many of devotees of Krishna are also going to come. So in the same way, we can see both the nature and the devotees were prepared unknowingly for the appearance of the Lord. So here the interesting point is that one has to be prepared to serve Krishna. So appearance of Krishna means we are trying to dedicate ourselves to serve Krishna. So we need to have some service for Janmashtami and before Janmashtami to receive the Lord. So if you don't have any service, we can approach Jainithai Prabhu. Prabhu has a lot of services, so it will be allocated nicely. So we don't have any shortage of service. But this is the way to approach the Lord, through service. So Janmashtami means it's not just like, okay, we come, we take darshan, you know, we have prasadam and then go back. We need to do something for Krishna. So we have the whole opportunity of service in this temple. And we have to welcome thousands and thousands of people. We don't know how many people are going to come between today and tomorrow. Maybe 8,000 or 10,000 or more. So many people are going to come. So this is the most wonderful opportunity, because we can understand this is the most auspicious occasion, the appearance of the Lord. Second point, we can see that why it was important that devotee's mind became peaceful before the appearance of Krishna. Because they were tolerating the atrocities of Kamsa and other demons. Even Vasudev, who was in the prison house, he had to witness slaughter of his sons before appearance of Krishna. This gives us an important lesson that to receive Krishna or to become Krishna conscious, we have to tolerate. We have to tolerate our mind. We have to tolerate our senses by engaging them in Krishna service. And we may have to tolerate many practical difficulties. So in developing our Krishna consciousness, we have to be steady in devotional service. And in that steadiness, we may have to be very tolerant. Definitely we have to be tolerant, sorry. There is no other goal. Because the demands of the mind and senses in itself is too much. So this is exemplified by these great devotees. They became quite peaceful after going through so much of difficulties. And then they became peaceful. And now the Lord is about to appear. Now there is a description. Okay, Hare Krishna. This is also a part of preparation. So we have to tolerate. In the third chapter, again, beginning of third chapter of 10th canto, Shukadeva Goswami describes the appearance of Krishna. He says, you know, gives a very elaborate, again, elaborate description of the activities of the nature and his devotees just before the appearance of the Lord and the time of appearance of the Lord. It's mentioned, Mumuchur Muneyo Devaha Sumudam si samanyutaha mandam mandam jaladhara jagarjur anusagaram nishithe tamudbhute jayamane janardane devakyam devarupinyam vishnu sarva guhasheha avirasit yatha prachyam dishinduriva pushkalaha. So this verse is describing the appearance of Krishna. And this verse is very interesting. And Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas give a very wonderful commentary on this verse. Because this verse is describing the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is mentioned, Mumuchur Maneyo Devaha Sumudamsi Mudanyutaha. Mudanyutaha. It is mentioned that everyone became overjoyed by the appearance of the Lord. They were so much jubilant that great sages and the demigods, they started showering flowers to the material world, because the material world is no more material world. It is acting as the abode of the Supreme Lord. We will see how. We mentioned that the brahmanas and the devotees, they became peaceful and they started performing sacrifices. Usually, the sacrifices are meant to be performed during the daytime. But when Krishna appeared, it was in the night. So, the whole atmosphere became just like Satyuga, where all the time, the devotees are performing sacrifice. So, that even though Krishna appeared towards the end of Dwapara Yuga, it was as if it were Satyuga. Then it is mentioned, Anusagaram, that is Mandam Mandam Jaladhara Jagarjur Anusagaram. The clouds were rumbling and they were imitating the music of the ocean. The ocean waves, how they produce a certain kind of sound, a certain kind of musical sound, the rumbling of the clouds were resembling that. They were trying to imitate. So there, Jiva Goswami explains that the Lord actually gave consciousness to inanimate objects. And because they had consciousness, they could receive the Supreme Lord. So this is practically the nature of the abode of the Lord. That we know that Chintamani Paragra Kalpa Vriksha. So there everything is conscious by nature. Everything is conscious by nature. So the material world practically different objects of the material world, the nature of the material world transformed into objects having consciousness. So the inanimate objects became animate to receive the Supreme Lord. So that is Anusagaram. They were imitating Sagaram, the ocean. And the Lord is mentioned in this verse as Janardana. So, Janardana is composed of two words. One is Jana and Ardana. Jana means people, and specifically referring to the devotees of the Lord, great sages and the demigods. So, Jana, Ardana. Ardana means they were pleading. As we know from the pastimes of Krishna, that they were suffering because the demons were performing so much of havoc in the material creation, and they wanted the audience of the Supreme Lord. So the great devotees, they were pleading to the Lord for his appearance. So the Lord is particularly addressed as Janardana. At the same time, even though the Lord appeared as son of Vasudev and Devaki, at the same time the Lord appeared as son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So Krishna took birth simultaneously in the prison house as well as in Braj, in Vrindavan. So that is another meaning. So the Lord appeared in both places simultaneously. Then here, Devaki is addressed as Devakyam Devarupinyam. Devaki is qualified as Devarupinyam. Or in some places it is mentioned as Vishnu Rupinyam. So here a very important point is conveyed, that if someone has to give birth to the Supreme Lord, then they also have to be of the same quality as the Supreme Lord. So Deva Rupinyam means Krishna is Sachidananda by nature, and Mother Devaki is also Sachidananda by nature. Or Vishnu Rupinyam. She is also having the Shakti of the Supreme Lord, so that she can actually appear in this world. So it is not an ordinary birth. In the previous chapter, it is mentioned how the Lord first appeared in the heart of Vasudev. Right? He appeared in the heart of Vasudev. So it is mentioned Vasudev represents person Vasudev, and also Vasudev represents Shuddha Sattva, the consciousness in which the Supreme Lord can appear. It is mentioned in the fourth canto, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. Lord Shiva again. Lord Shiva is describing his own consciousness. We know the pastime of Dakshayagya, where Lord Shiva didn't pay respect to Daksha, and Daksha got agitated and he was cursing, and the whole cursing and counter cursing were going on in that pastime. The Lord Shiva at one point revealed his heart. He said, Chattam Satam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam, that my consciousness is Vasudev consciousness. Iti iryade yatra pupan apuman anavrate. This is the consciousness in which puman anavrate. The Lord is uncovered in the heart. Anavrate, not avrate, anavrate. Sattvena tasmin bhagavan vasudevo hi adhoksha jome namasa vidhiyate. So this is the consciousness of Lord Shiva. So this consciousness is exemplified by or personified by Vasudev. So he is Vasudev. So he is the father of Lord Krishna. So that's how the Lord Krishna appeared in the heart of Vasudev. And then Vasudev transferred, the Lord transferred from, got transferred from the heart of Vasudev to the heart of Devaki. So this is the real meaning of initiation, Diksha. The real meaning of Diksha is that a spiritual master can give the Supreme Lord to his disciple. Heart-to-heart transfer. One time, Indradyumna Maharaj was giving initiation here, and he made this point that in Diksha means you have to take it to your heart. You can hear it through the ears, because initiation is hearing the mantra, and where the mantra is heard through the ears. And our process is Shrutekshanapatha. We are seeing through the ears, as Brahma says. So then take it to the heart. So the same process was performed by Devaki. Sorry, by Devaki and Vasudev. Vasudev gave Krishna to Devaki. Just like a spiritual master gives the mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to his disciple. The same way. Then Krishna was transferred from the heart of Devaki to the womb of Devaki. And then from the womb, he appeared. So it looked as if a normal birth, but it was not a normal birth. So that is Devakyam, Devarupinyam. And who came about? That is Vishnu Sarva Guhasheha. Vishnu, who is in the heart of all the living entities. And Guha is used because Guha means a cave which is inaccessible in the heights of mountains. So even though the Lord is present within the heart of the living entities, he is inaccessible to non-devotees. So only devotees can get access to the Supreme Lord. So that Lord who is hidden in the heart of all the living entities appeared from Devaki. And Devakyam Devarupinyam Vishnu Sarva Guhasheha Avir Asit Yatha Prachyam Dishinduriva Pushkalaha. Then a simile is given, an analogy is given to describe the appearance of Krishna. He appeared in the middle of the night. How? Just like a full moon appears. And which day Krishna appeared? He appeared on the Ashtami. That's right. The constellation was Rohini. That's right. And the day was Ashtami. Means the eighth day of the waning moon. So the question could be asked, on the eighth day of the waning moon, how is it possible to have the full moon? First of all, full moon is not possible on Ashtami, right? It's only possible on Purnima. It is quite logical. Ashtami cannot have full moon. Second, how in the middle of the night, the moon became completely full, fully manifested. So it is explained that since the Lord appeared in the Chandra Vamsha, in the moon dynasty, the moon god, Soma, became very jubilant. So he thought, for me, the Lord is going to decorate the whole world just by his presence. So let me play my part by being complete. So Soma thought, okay, the moon, let it become complete. So that's why the moon is described as Pushkalaha. It's complete by nature. Complete. Second reason the word Pushkala is used, because the Lord is complete. Krishna is complete. That too, particularly Krishna is complete. Even though Krishna has so many expansions. Right? Krishna has so many unlimited Vishnu Murtis are coming from Krishna. From Krishna, the Chaturvyuha comes, the first quadruple comes, from Krishna Balaram comes, first quadruple, second quadruple, Narayan, you know, Sankarshan, then all the Purusha avatars. So many incarnations are appearing from Krishna, but Krishna is complete. And there is a very important point here mentioning Krishna is complete. Not just as the source of all incarnations, but all incarnations came along with Krishna. So when Krishna appeared in the material world, all the incarnations assembled and they all came along with Krishna. So in Krishna's body, all other incarnations were present. So in that sense, he is Pushkala. And it also shows another thing that if you consider different phases of moon is actually complete, but a phase of the moon shows that it is only manifesting a certain portion of the moon. In the same way, all different incarnations, in one sense, they are complete in itself, but they are not complete because they don't manifest all the opulences, all the potencies as the Supreme Lord. So this word is used in with so many different meanings. Another point mentioned in the purport is that the Lord appeared in the 8th month. So it was not he didn't go through the complete cycle of, or she didn't go through the complete cycle of pregnancy even before the Lord appeared. So why it happened? Because the Lord wanted to bewilder Kamsa. So Kamsa got bewildered because Kamsa was already bewildered because he saw Devaki, because Devaki was so effulgent because she was carrying the Supreme Lord. So just by carrying the Supreme Lord, she became effulgent. Then by just seeing that, Kamsa could understand, things are not working according to my plan. Vishnu is in the womb and he couldn't kill. So, you know, he was in a dilemma. And to bewilder Kamsa even further, the Lord appeared few months before. So this is a pastime of the Supreme Lord. So now we can approach. So tomorrow is Janmashtami. So we have to be prepared externally and internally for the appearance of the Lord. So we have to approach Janmashtami through the service, of course. And it is mentioned a very interesting point regarding chanting and Janmashtami, or chanting and auspicious festivals. That if we feel that we are not making sufficient progress in our chanting, if we feel, okay, I'm chanting, I'm trying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, I'm trying my best, but things are not moving, there is no momentum for my chanting, and I want to take my next step in my chanting, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends the festivals of the Lord. And here we have the Janmashtami is the most auspicious festival. So it is mentioned, if one absorbs oneself in the festival, then the Lord will give special mercy. So if we absorb ourselves in Janmashtami by service and by prayers, then what happens? The Lord, because he's very happy, so he will give special mercy to us, and then we can take a next step. So mercy steps are bigger than our endeavor steps sometimes. Endeavor can attract mercy of the Lord. So endeavor, we will make some progress, but when that endeavor attracts the mercy of the Lord, then we take bigger steps. So tomorrow is an opportunity to make a bigger step in our chanting. In Nectar of Devotion, in the 25th chapter, the Janmashtami is especially glorified. Because 25th chapter of Nectar of Devotion is about what? Anyone knows who has studied Nectar of Devotion? It is about? Anyone knows? It is about Uddipan. Uddipan means the items that can actually give ecstasies to pure devotees. So if they see it, there are many items that can give ecstasy. It can Uddipan, you know the meaning of Uddipan. It can give inspiration to be ecstatic. So by seeing those items, devotees become ecstatic, especially referring to pure devotees. Like for example, peacock feather. You know, we know in Lord Chaitanya's pastime, we know the Gadadhar Pandit, Pundarika Vidyanathi. Mukunda was there. Pundarika Vidyanathi, when he saw peacock feather, he saw the peacock fan, immediately he went into ecstasy. So that peacock feather reminded him of Krishna. So he fell into ecstasy. In the same way, in the same category, Janmashtami is presented. So the auspicious days, pure devotees become in complete, they go into complete ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada, when he was, you know, the first Janmashtami came, Srila Prabhupada told all the devotees, he started reading, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, and they started reading Krishna book. He said, okay, let's read the whole Krishna book. But it went on, but it was approaching midnight, and they weren't able to finish Krishna book. Then Srila Prabhupada said, okay, you stop that, I'll just finish Bhagavatam. He actually read the Sanskrit version of Bhagavatam, and he finished the 10th canto. He said, okay, in that way I have completed the 10th canto on Janmashtami. So we can understand, Srila Prabhupada was in complete ecstasy because such auspicious days make them ecstatic completely. And for us, as for practicing devotees, for us also, at least we get some kind of happiness. We become ecstatic to our capacity. So we know devotees are quite happy on a Janmashtami day, right? So and everyone is enthusiastic in doing service. I think practically that is the only day devotees are asking so much for services. There is competition for services. So actually that is spiritual world. So we can see that mentality at least one day in one year. Because one devotee asked me for one service which I am doing on that particular day. So tomorrow, at least a month back. So much of enthusiasm in doing service. So yeah, it is well and good. So even we become enthusiastic because of appearance of Krishna. So let's approach Janmashtami in the right spirit. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments or any corrections. Yes, Prabhu. Actually, it's mentioned peace precedes happiness. The Bhagavad Gita asks, "Ashantasya kuto sukham?" There is no question of happiness if somebody is not peaceful. And what does that peace mean? Peace means the senses are under control, and the mind is not demanding too much for sense gratification. So for a devotee, peaceful means he is able to do service properly. He is being fixed in service. That is peaceful. Because the mind is not dragging him away from the service and the senses are not dragging him away from the service. So that is peaceful for devotees. You see, it doesn't stop service. Peaceful, not like, you know, shanti, shanti, shanti. Not like that. We like that, you know. That when we speak about spirituality, we have such kind of a notion that it is just shanti. But our shanti is anxiety for Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji. I remember a very nice Janmashtami meditation. Very nice. We should read tomorrow. I'll try to find it. It's Melbourne, right? It's Melbourne, 1976 Melbourne. So those who have fully weather-based can refer and please read. Morning walk conversation. Whole transcript is there. Thank you. Thank you. April. About April. Okay, you know the date. Okay, good. April 1976, Melbourne Morning Walk Conversation by Srila Prabhupada. We can read. It reminds me of a verse by Rupa Goswami. Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam janma kodi sukrutair na labhyate. Krishna Bhakti Paribhavitamati. That is, the Krishna consciousness one cannot get so easily. What is the mulyam? What is the price? Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam. There is only one price. That is laulyam. That is the intense desire, intense eagerness to serve Krishna. That was mentioning. Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam. Janma kodi sukrutair na labhyate. One can perform pious activities for janma kodi. One can dig well, one can give in charity, one can dig, do so many things. Janma koti, one can do that for millions of lifetimes. But one cannot get bhakti for Krishna. So that is only obtained by eagerness to perform service unto Krishna. So, yeah. Any final question? I didn't mention Uddhava so Arjun, but the point was Uddhava remembered how Arjun shot arrows onto all the enemies, and by those arrows they got purified. The simultaneous effect of getting pierced by the arrows of Arjun and seeing the lotus face of the Lord, they got completely purified and transferred themselves to the spiritual world. So I don't know. Uddhava didn't take part in the battle. So, assume Dwaraka, because he's a resident of Dwaraka. But I cannot say for sure. Thank you. Okay. Yes, please. Yeah.
The result of material anxiety is just more anxiety.
Yeah. Nice point. The result of, for the online audience, for the Prabhupada's Prabhu is telling, the result of material anxiety is more material anxiety, whereas the result of spiritual anxiety, Krishna anxiety, is bliss. Okay, thank you. Alright, we stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jayanata Gaura Premanande.